Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been quite some time since I've gotten a chance to catch up with our good friend, the rabbi in Bozeman, Rabbi Chaim Bruck, with the Jewish synagogue in Bozeman. So much to talk about this morning. Rosh Hashanah, the start of the Jewish New Year, right around the corner from that, another tragic anniversary of the October 7th terror attacks, and then all of these attacks on people of faith all across America, whether it's Jewish students on our college campuses or the assassination of American patriot Charlie Kirk. Rabbi Chaim Bruck, great to have you back on Montana Talks. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Since we spoke last, you've moved across the state. You know, life is changing. You know, who knows what can happen next? But it's really wonderful to be back with you, and especially at this opportune time where the world and Montana needs to remember that optimism is the ultimate optimism in God, and that the future is indeed bright is something we need to constantly remind ourselves when there's so much tragedy around us.
Well, and what a joy it is also to be amongst friends and patriots and warriors. You know, when this tragic news came out about Charlie Kirk's assassination last week, I was able to attend 9/11 memorial ceremonies across Montana. I was able to get together with Gold Star family members and fellow veterans. And, you know, when we go through tough times, what an honor it is to be amongst friends and fellow warriors, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when I was sitting in my office, when the news started coming in on social media that there was a shooting in Utah, and about 10 minutes later, my neighbor from upstairs, on top of the synagogue, there's an office, a business office, some business brokers, and they're very wonderful Christian neighbors, and immediately one of them came down and said, "Rabbi, did you see the news?" I said, "Yeah, I'm looking at it right now." And we ended up sitting together. Here's a Christian man from Churchill, Montana, and a Brooklyn-born rabbi who's been in Bozeman for almost 19 years, sitting together and watching as our country is reeling from something that we all felt was unfathomable, that freedom of speech and freedom of practicing religion and sharing religious ideas should be under attack to the point that someone would take another person's life because you don't agree with my way of thinking. And I think it is a time when good and healthy and spiritual people come together and say, we can do better as a society. And it's not just political. It's a spiritual war in the sense that all of us who cling to God, and I think that's a beautiful term. It's not a negative. It's a beautiful, but all of us who cling to God and find our hope in God, as we read in the book of Psalms, each of us comes together and says, we are going to be the beautiful world that we want it to be. We are going to be the voice of optimism and faith and godliness. We are going to be the voice of kindness and compassion and show that by our example, not just by preaching it, but by living that way. And even when someone hurts us the wrong way, we are people of God and need to be those ambassadors.
How do we respond? Yes. Rabbi, hold that thought. Quick break here on Montana Talks. Lots to talk about. We'll come back right back to the rabbi right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with Rabbi Chaim Bruck from the Jewish Synagogue in Bozeman. Rabbi, I wish we could have just scrapped that break altogether right there because you were in the middle of such an incredible message. But, you know, our local stations get an opportunity to
get there. Pay the bill.
Yeah, that's right. Well, in our local stations, you know, it's a big part of this show is giving them their time to get their local messages out as well. So that's why we have that there is for those local stations especially. But taking a step back for a moment here, Rabbi, it has been so unconscionable what we see now taking place in America, something we thought we would never see. Yet, as a kid of the 80s, I remember watching movies about the Holocaust, and then I got to meet, you know, Holocaust survivors like Eva Kaur, who came to Montana, and
yep.
and And so it was just unfathomable to me that we would reach a point in America where people would just forget that that whole thing ever happened and allow the type of anti-Semitism and the harassment and the attacks against Jewish college students that we've seen take place in America. And then simultaneously now, the assassination of Charlie Kirk and killing somebody simply because they speak their mind and because they have access to a microphone, even though they give you the access to the microphone at the same time, has the people that disagree with them even.
So I want to correct you. You know, it's a pretty big mistake that people make when they say that the Bible, the Torah, teaches that thou shalt not kill. But the truth is, there is no such commandment in the Bible. And the Ten Commandments, in the proper Hebrew, it's not thou shalt not kill, it's thou shalt not murder.
Murder, good point.
Killing is something that we have to do, unfortunately, at times, self-defense. There's times where killing is a necessary thing that has to happen, even if it's never pretty. And murder is something that's never okay. And what happened to Charlie was murder. And I think, you know, you referred to what happened after October 7th, when instead of, you know, the majority of Americans stood with the Jewish people, stood with Israel, and recognized that this is if we would have allowed Hamas to continue doing what they were doing, raping and butchering and burning babies alive, then they would have done it to the entire 8 million Jews living in Israel. There would be a bigger Holocaust. The fact that we could protect ourselves should not be held against us. So the first while we were seeing the insanity ensue on the college campuses, you know, free Palestine from the river to the sea, Gaza will be for Palestine will be free, which is just an indication. In addition to the fact that most students don't know where the sea is and where the river is, but it basically means we're taking over the entire Israel and getting rid of all the Jews. But what happened after that was just as bad. And I know in Montana what I'm about to say can get me into some trouble, but I'm a rabbi and I'm never scared of getting into trouble when I'm speaking. That is, it started with the far left and it's now on the far right. And you have people like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and a few others who are literally going to create a situation where it will be unsafe for Jews in certain parts of this country because they are spewing, in the name of questions, they're questioning the Holocaust. They're interviewing Holocaust deniers like Ian Carroll. They are creating a scenario. Now, again, the vast majority of the right conservative pundits are incredible when it comes to supporting Israel, when it comes to supporting the Jewish community, from the Josh Hammers to the Ben Shapiros to, you know, pick your person. But we have to be honest that this issue of going after the Jews with pure blood libels and Holocaust denial is unfortunately creeping in to the far right as well, and it will have dire consequences. By the way, and the dire consequences is not necessarily just about the Jewish community. As I said on your show before, after October 7th, the Jewish people will survive and thrive. We always do. You butcher us, you torture us, you murder us, and we get back up, we pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, and we keep going. But America, if we want to see a country in which Jews aren't welcome, it never ends with the Jews. And we see that already with Charlie Kirk. It didn't stop with the Jews. They didn't murder him because he was Jewish. They murdered him because he was a Christian who believed in his faith, and he loved his faith, and he preached his faith. And now he's dead because of that. So as a society, we need to constantly ask ourselves the question, are we becoming better and more kind to each other? Are we having healthy dialogue with each other? Or are we spewing things in order to get clicks on social media, even though we know that what we're saying is absolutely false, but we're doing it because it gets us a few more dollars in the showbiz that we call podcasts. And so as we approach Rosh Hashanah,
I had somebody just yesterday, they anonymously posted this on a Dawson discussion chat on Facebook in Glendive, because I referenced how I quoted Charlie Kirk in a speech in Dawson County earlier this year. Somebody on a Dawson discussion Facebook chat said that I was lying on the radio, and they claimed that the suspect who killed Charlie Kirk was actually a conservative and not like this left-wing, you know, transgender-motivated shooter. And it's like they are straight-up lying.
You have that. By the way, Aaron, you have that. You have people on the left saying that the shooter was on the right. You have people on the right who are saying that Bibi Netanyahu and Israel were behind killing Charlie Kirk because he was a little too soft in Israel, which,
I've seen that, too. It's crazy.
Right, you have a half a brain. You ask yourself, if I was Candace Owens, I'd say, you think Bibi killed Charlie? If it's so easy for Bibi to kill people and to have beepers blow up all over, you know, Lebanon, do you think it's hard for Bibi to kill you? And yet he didn't do that because you're speaking stupidity. And that's really a key point here. Evil forces say whatever comes to their mind as long as it gets their goal across. And I think that as not just Jews, you know, Rosh Hashanah is not just a Jewish holiday. I know a lot of people think it's the Jewish New Year. But like I tell people all the time, it's either a New Year or not. And so it's our faith in the Jewish community, and I don't think anyone disagrees, that Rosh Hashanah is the day in which God created Adam and Eve. On the sixth day of creation, God created the first human being, Adam and Eve, a male and a female. And that was the first human being. Then we are all descendants of Adam and Eve, not just Jews.
Rabbi, hold that thought. We gotta take another quick break here. The time is, of course, going to fly by, especially today. But yeah, what is Rosh Hashanah? What is Rosh Hashanah all about? Definitely want to get to that and much more. Stand by, Rabbi. We'll come back right back to you.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, definitely want to get to your phone calls here as well. 406-294-0970 as we catch up with our good friend Rabbi Chaim Bruck from the Jewish synagogue in Bozeman. And by the way, Rabbi, yeah, speaking of some of those conspiracy theories, I saw some of that crazy talk as well in the aftermath. In fact, somebody was trying to say, oh, it was a Chabad Jewish connection. And I'm like, well, Rabbi Chaim is the Chabad Center in Bozeman. But to your point, one thing I wanted to go back to before we talk more about Rosh Hashanah, and we've got a great caller on the phone lines that wants to chat with you as well here. You nailed it. And Marilyn and Lolo said this on the radio before the Charlie Kirk assassination. My wife and I, when we were driving to Helena for the 9/11 memorial and heard the tragic news that Charlie Kirk passed away, she said it, we've said it, you just said it again. This is not political. What is happening in this country right now, this is a spiritual battle. And there is this irrational hatred of Jews. There's this irrational hatred of Israel that goes back centuries and centuries and centuries. But you and I were talking during the break. There is a hatred of people of faith, period. That's what I think ultimately why Charlie Kirk was assassinated and why we see this irrational hatred of Jews as well.
Jews are used to it. I think for Christians, it's a little bit of a newer thing that, you know, we're used to people hating us for no reason whatsoever, but Christians are experiencing some of that as well. And I think, you know, if you study Christianity, and by no means am I an expert in the New Testament, but pretty sure that being full of hate and animosity is not a doctrine in the Christian faith, but it's certainly not in the Jewish faith. And so when you meet someone who claims to be religious, well, everything they're spewing is about division and animosity and hatred, that's not Christianity. You know, Charlie used to sit, and I'm not an expert in Charlie either, but the clips that I've seen, he would sit and dialogue and have a microphone and allow people to speak. He'd be very rarely interrupted. I think that is a value that I grew up with. You know, in the ethics of our fathers and Jewish teachings, it says that you're not supposed to interrupt someone when they're talking. Let them finish their point. But again, in order to make a point these days or to get more clicks, we do crazy stuff. And it is a battle between good and evil, and I say that not because I think we should go out and use physical violence. Everything about Judaism is against violence, and we believe strongly that an eye for an eye will make the whole world blind. But when we recognize that it's a spiritual battle, it allows us, number one, to be a lot calmer, because we realize it's not just today's battle, it's the eternal battle between good and evil. And number two, it allows us to use other tools, like prayer, like how we're going to raise our children and educate our children. How does our dinner table? What spirituality exists at our dinner table? What spirituality exists in our home, in our bedroom, in our workplace? What ethics and morals? And when we start living with that God-centric reality, there's a lot less hate. There's a lot less animosity. I never heard anyone in my life say, ooh, I better not go into that neighborhood. It's a Jewish neighborhood. Right? No one ever said that. As if they're going to be scared of something's going to happen to them. Right? I've never heard such a term.
A much different conversation in parts of Paris or maybe even parts of London right now. Rabbi, hold that thought if you can. I want to sneak in a caller here. We've got Steve in Whitefish, and I've gotten to meet Steve before, retired law enforcement. Great guy. Steve, thanks for calling in. Did you have a quick question or comment for the rabbi?
Well, I just wanted to thank the rabbi for being there, Rabbi Chaim. I worship with Rabbi Schneur Wolf up here at the Glacier, our Flathead community. But I did, as Aaron said, I am a retired law enforcement officer, but I'm also Jewish, too. So, Rabbi, I'll say Ani Steve, and Naemot. I have to remember my Hebrew. So. But I wanted to I wanted to compliment you on also, there is the, in the Torah, there is the concept of rodef, is when a pursuer is coming after you, you would be legally justified into stopping that attacker. I, as a lawman, I had to use lethal force a few times in my career, but it was only as a last resort, and it was actually sometimes to take a life to save a life, as you know that concept.
Well said there, Steve. Yeah, it ties in with what the rabbi was talking about earlier, about there is a difference between killing and murder. Yeah, Steve, great to hear from you. Rabbi, is that your brother-in-law, that the synagogue?
My brother, he turns out he hangs out with my brother-in-law in the Flathead, and he's a rabbi there with his wife, Hannah. So I'll wish him in Hebrew, Shana Tova, to be a happy, healthy, and sweet new year. I don't know what our time is, Aaron, but do I have a moment to share something about Rosh Hashanah?
You've got, yes. This is actually okay. Our longer segment here, so, the commercials won't cut you off.
There you go. So one of the things about Rosh Hashanah that's so interesting is that it's not called in Hebrew. In Hebrew, there's two words for there's a word for beginning and there's a word for head. So in Hebrew, Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. Tchilat Hashanah would mean the beginning of the year, but it's not called the beginning of the year, it's called the head of the year, because we believe that on the 48 hours of Rosh Hashanah, which are it's the day of judgment, you know, it comes right before Yom Kippur, the day of atonement, so we're judged, and then we have the day of atonement, and hopefully God signs and seals us in the book of life for another wonderful year. Rosh Hashanah is a time for recalibrating who we are. What is our spiritual purpose? Why did God put me in this world? Why did he give me my soul back this morning, right? There's millions of people in the world that didn't wake up this morning for whatever reason. And you woke up this morning, which means God is saying to you, you matter. Your existence, your life is worthy. And I want you to utilize that to make the world and those around you a better and healthier place. And so Rosh Hashanah is a time of important introspection, because in Judaism, action speaks the loudest. But in order to do the right action, you got to take the time for, you know, take some private time, some alone time with God, and really recalibrate the soulfulness of your existence, and then get out there and bring that soulfulness to the world. And there's so much good. And it's important to me to say that, because when you read Twitter or X, or you go on social media, other platforms, or you go, you know, you read a newspaper, God forbid, you end up thinking that the world is crumbling. Oh my gosh, what's going on in Gaza? Oh my gosh, what's going on in Ukraine? And the shooting of Charlie Kirk, and the two Israelis shot and killed in Washington, D.C., and the shooting in Minnesota. The world's going to hell. And there is that aspect where there's a lot of chaos. There's no question. It seems some days like the world has gone mad. But I want to give you the other side of it. As a rabbi, I deal on a daily basis, some days with 20 people, some days with 30 people, some days with 50 different people. And the world and Montana are full of kind and healthy and compassionate and friendly, wonderful people. So when people become all bent out of shape because they're watching the 24-hour, you know, cable news, I beg you, turn that stinking machine off. Recognize, go hang out with humans. Humans are mostly wonderful. It's the TV that will only amplify.
Like last week, I mentioned I was getting to be amongst Gold Star family members and fellow veterans and attending these 9/11 memorial ceremonies. And at tough times, it's so incredibly be surrounded by such great people. But, you know, it's even funny. Even at the Grizz game in Missoula, I ran into Democrat State Senator Ellie Boldman. And it was so fun catching up with her. And she showed me the Montana Talks app on her phone. And so, you you know, we may not agree on everything, but that's part of the beauty is getting around and traveling around Montana is talking to even people that you disagree with. It's part of the fun of having a show just like this. Let's see. Let's sneak in another caller here as we've got the rabbi from Bozeman with us on the show here, Rabbi Chaim Bruck from the Jewish Synagogue in Bozeman. We've got Connor in Belgrade on the phone lines. Connor, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
I had a quick comment kind of just about these kind of anti-Semitic conspiracies that were going on. And I'm a young conservative, and there is definitely a rise in anti-Semitic beliefs, I think, especially among kind of young right-wing men. Especially the younger conservatives, the more reasonable kind of criticism, not of the Jewish faith or Jewish people in general, but of Israel's strong influence on our own country's policy and kind of the stranglehold that AIPAC has on our politicians and government. We always hear stuff from both sides, you know, criticizing lobbying and things like that. And then on the right, as soon as you criticize AIPAC, you're called anti-Semitic. So I do think that,
Well, Connor, what would be the criticism of Israel? I mean, you know, Israel is one of our greatest friends, sometimes our only friend in the Middle East, and what they did to help take out the Iranian nuclear facility. I mean, I can't tell you what a big deal that is for America. And that's what, so what I don't hear from some of the folks, you know, on the right that are critical of Israel is why, right?
Yeah, so I think it seems to me, and, you know, from what I'm reading, and obviously I don't know everything that's going on in Israel, but it does seem that Bibi Netanyahu does want to drag the United States into a larger conflict with Iran.
All right. Well, let's get Rabbi. Yeah, Connor, thanks for the call. Rabbi, let's get your take on that. The way I see it is Bibi Netanyahu and what Israel did prevented a war with Iran.
So I want to comment a few things. First of all, I appreciate Connor's humility. You know, people his age don't speak. You know, he recognizes that he doesn't know everything, which is great for a person his age. Most people his age walk around thinking they do know everything. I'd like to respond directly to the concept of AIPAC. I don't like lobbying either. I think it should be canceled totally, but not just regards to the Jewish people in Israel. AIPAC is a tiny, tiny lobbyist group. And by the way, even as far as countries are concerned, if you look at the list of the top countries that invest their money in lobbying the United States Senate and Congress, I think AIPAC and Israel come at number 11, right? After Qatar and after Saudi Arabia and after Turkey and after Japan. And Israel is a tiny, AIPAC is tiny, and you can research it.
And Peter Schweitzer, look at what Peter Schweitzer has reported about China and how much influence China has in Washington, D.C. Rabbi, hold that thought. Hate to cut you off, but I'm getting cut off as well here because we've got a hard break to get to here. And then we'll come back to the rabbi right after this. And at the tail end of the hour, I know we're expecting a phone call also from Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana. She speaks at the Glacier Pachyderm Club in Kalispell later today. So we'll sneak her on at the tail end of the hour. Stand by.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
As the fall calf run gets underway shortly in the next few weeks, prices for cattle are expected to remain strong in our local livestock markets. But there are still a few key things producers should consider when sending calves through the ring to capture top dollar. Billings Livestock Commission's Ty Thompson.
Well, I think the most important thing is, and there's a lot of it goes on in Montana because of the auctions, you know, we get the light end off the video deliveries or the big end or such. So they stand around for 4, 5, 6 days and then bring them to town. The worst thing you can do is bring us a 15 to 20 day wean calf. It's not good for us at the auction representing them. It's not good for the buyer, order buyer to send them, or these local farmers. That's the worst thing you could do. Also, I always try and tell people, my personal feeling is if you're going to wean a calf, you might as well wean them and get into December. Weaning that calf for 40 days here now and coming in the middle of all those fat, shiny, balling calves in early November, you know, your eye appeal is such a big thing in selling them. And even though you've added value by weaning them, they look rough, they're pot bellied, they just don't show as good as them. So if you're going to wean a calf, I would shoot for getting them all the way into December, and you'll definitely get paid for it. But just weaning them for 30 days or bringing them right in the middle of the ball and calf run at the auctions anyway, I don't know that you get paid for it.
I'm Lane Nordlund.
Hiring.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, speaking of Israel and Bibi Netanyahu, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Senator Steve Daines was just in Israel. He said, quote, "It was an honor and privilege to travel to Israel this weekend and convey my support to Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Israeli people as we approach the two-year anniversary of the worst terrorist attack in Israel's history. It's important to remember that there will not be peace in Israel or Gaza until Hamas is eradicated and every single hostage is returned. The United States must stand with Israel." Rabbi, I'm so glad that Connor called in. He's a smart young man. I've gotten a chance to hear his take his phone calls a few times here. I'm glad that he called in and addressed some of what you are starting to see amongst the right. There's always been an element that's been anti-Israel, you know, anti-Jewish, but it does seem like there's this trendy, you know, some of them are the people that supported the Iraq war, and so now they're going so far in the opposite direction to pretend to be libertarian that they have this knee-jerk reaction to attack any move to defend this country or to stand with Israel.
I also find it fascinating that the people who are saying, you know, AIPAC is giving too much money and they have too much influence, which, by the way, is pure BS, because if they were so successful, then it wouldn't be this constant rift between the State Department and Israel. It would be a done deal. But there's constant back and forth to get where the countries want to be. But I find it ironic that the people complaining about AIPAC are the people getting funded by Qatar, by Qatar. So you're getting paid by a foreign country to lobby against their enemy in the Middle East while complaining about the lobbying of AIPAC. It's ridiculous. But I want to go to Connor with another important point that we got caught off by the break, and that is, everyone thinks that America's supporting Israel, which is true. America gives a lot of money to their allies, including Israel. The part that they forget to mention is the security technology that Israel gives America, like the Iron Dome that we created in Israel. Yes, it was created with American funds and support, but now America has the ability to use that as well. The Mossad, which, you know, has a reputation of its own, how many times have they thwarted terrorist attacks on Americans or America? How did they help President Trump when he killed Qassam Soleimani, one of the greatest terrorists in history? That was through information they got from Israel. It's not a one-way street. You could say, oh, America shouldn't support Israel, but would you like Israel to stop supporting America? Would you like to see what America would look like without the technology that's produced in Tel Aviv and Herzliya and so on and so forth? And also, I want to go to this Bibi point. You know, America's new favorite enemy is Bibi Netanyahu. And listen, Bibi's not perfect. I don't believe any politician on planet Earth is. If you're not God, you're not perfect. But to make him the issue, the Hamas terrorists came into Israel. They slit the throats of dozens of babies, four-month-old babies, one-month-old babies. They raped women both while they were alive and they were dead. They butchered and burnt people in their Israel has in the homes these special safe rooms from rockets. So they lit fires and let them choke on smoke in their safe rooms. And then they kidnap hundreds of my brothers and sisters. And you want Israel to sit back and say kumbaya?
Yeah.
You've got something coming. The world loves mourning for dead Jews. There's nothing the New York Times would love better than to say, we are so sorry that 6 million Jews were murdered. We could have done better. And the Jews have finally said, we don't want your condolences. We want either your support or get out of our way, because we're going to protect our own.
And yet, look at the way the fake news media has been so horrific. I mean, they just take the Hamas propaganda and run with it practically every single time. And they have their news correspondents, which are actually terrorist operatives. Hold that thought, Rabbi. Let's sneak in another caller. We've got Albert in Bozeman on the phone lines. Albert, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I have a quick comment. People, can't we all just get along? That's all I have to say. Can't we all just get along?
Anything else you wanted to add to that at all, Albert?
This says it all, my friend.
All right, all right. Obviously, a reference back to the L.A. riots, and I'm assuming there. All right, can't we all just get along? You know, Rabbi, I read this book once, and it was basically about how Christians, Jews, and Muslims all go back to Abraham, right? And the book was trying to say that, hey, don't worry, we all believe the same things. And my response to that book was like, well, no, we don't all believe the same things. But yeah, we can still get along even if we don't share the same beliefs. And that's what's broken down right now.
And I can hang out with anyone, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, an atheist, if they can answer one simple question. Do you think it's okay for me to live? Do I have a right to live? And if the answer is no, then no, we can't hang out together because you're evil. You want me dead. But anyone that says, you know, I don't care what your faith is. I don't care how you practice, as long as it doesn't hurt other people in the process, right? I've prayed my entire, I'm 43 years old. And we're about the same age, Aaron. I've prayed my entire life in the synagogue 3 times a day. As far as I know, I've never hurt anyone in the process. I never walked out of the synagogue and said, you know what? My God just said I should slaughter someone. I should hurt someone. But there are people, and definitely in the Islamist side of things, in the radical Islam, and that's something that Israel's been dealing with forever, and the Jews have been dealing with since Muhammad, since the beginning of Islam, and that is they don't believe that I have a right to exist unless I convert to their faith. And that's a big problem, that we dealt with the Christians during the Inquisition as well, and the pogroms as well, that wanted the same. Either you accept Jesus or you're toast. I don't think anyone should be toast unless they're hurting other people.
Rabbi, what you just said also about how can you have unity? How can you get along with somebody who wants you dead? I mean, there was a great Federalist.com piece, because that's why when you see people celebrating the death of Jews in Israel, when you see people
or celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk,
that's exactly what I was going to say. We've had school teachers in Montana cheering and celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Basically, they believe that because of what he believed, he deserved to die. Well, the majority of you, the kids in your classroom, probably share the beliefs of Charlie Kirk. So you believe they should die too. And the Federalist had a great piece where they said, how can you have unity with people who want you dead?
Correct. And you always use that since October 7th. I personally use that as a barometer. I can have coffee and speak to anyone, even people, socialists, communists. I'm cool with that. You want to be a communist? Whatever. I hope you don't become president, but, you know, I can talk to you. But, and I don't want you dead, but if you want me dead, how would you like me to correspond with you if I have to look over my shoulder the entire time that you might stab me? And I think Montanans need to remember that if 3,000 or 4,000 jihadists would come in from Saskatchewan and invade northeast Montana and go from Plentywood and then down to Glendive and to Sydney and start slaughtering and butchering and raping men and women and children, how do you think Montana would respond? I think it would put Israel's response to shame. So I don't like to see starving children in Gaza. No one does. And I'm not even sure that half of the stuff we see is real, because there's so much fake Gaza, you know, productions that go on to try to make us feel bad. But even if it were true, no one likes it. No one wants to see children suffering. But can we allow them into our country? Can we allow them into Israel? Would you want them? Where do you want them? You want them in your home in Livingston? I'll hook you up. How many houses do you want at home?
Yeah, you first, right? Okay, let's sneak in another caller here before we run out of time. John in Columbia Falls, did you have a quick question or comment? John, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, the current thing you're talking about with, the French, I guess you would put it as people on the right, that are just questioning things. I mean, we got to stay at open dialogue where, you know, I mean, Tucker Carlson has come out and said that he's not anti-Israel. He's not anti-Jew. But he does question, you know, where our allegiance is with doing what's best for America and not what's necessarily best for Israel. And then, I mean, the rabbi said it himself, there's unnecessary deaths happening in Gaza. And so, you know, we do have to, you know, have some input. You know, Netanyahu goes off on his own. He does these things without Trump's support, you know, and then do we just support him or do we question it?
Or is that President Trump not acknowledging the action that took place for American political reasons versus you know, President Trump not being happy with it? I think there's more politics at play there. But either way, I think we agree on the open dialogue part. John, thanks for the call. Rabbi, about 30 seconds to go before the break.
Okay,
what do you want to share?
I just want to respond to him before he goes. If Tucker Carlson really cared about the children in Gaza, then you would hear him talking about the children of Ukraine, but he can't because he sides with Putin. He doesn't talk about the children in the Sudan. He never talked about what the Houthis did to the Yemenite people, 10 million starving Yemenite children because of the Houthis in Yemen. He never talked about all the other human suffering. So when you're obsessed with Israel and the Jews, it's not asking questions. It's leading people to believe that the worst people amongst humanity are the Jews, when I call BS, and I'm a nice guy, and all the Jews I know, almost all of them, are wonderful, compassionate, and good people. So I'll leave it with that, wishing everyone a sweet new year, Shana Tova. We will rise again. We will continue to thrive, and Montana is a great place to be to celebrate diversity and the faith in God.
Rabbi, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Have a good day.
When we have...
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got one more guest that we got to sneak on here before we wrap up the hour, but I definitely want to sneak in at least one more quick phone call here. Great to hear from Greg Simon in Plentywood. Greg, thanks for the call. What did you want to share with folks all across Montana?
Well, I think what people need to realize is we've got some difference in opinions out there. There's some different theology, but that doesn't mean you have to hate somebody or show any kind of abrasive attitude towards them. I've seen firsthand some experiences with it, and there are some people that are definitely unhinged. But I think some of the biggest things that happen is there's a difference in theology out there, and people don't look past that. And I think you need to stop and do that if you're going to actually have a conversation. Charlie Kirk was great about that. He actually worked beyond the differences that we had or tried to. And that's something that if we don't do that, we're going to cease to be a nation.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and you know, when you live in small town Montana, frankly, you got no other choice. You've got to figure it out. You got to make it work, because you're going to run into each other at the football game on Friday night. And then you're going to see each other in church on Sunday, hopefully. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think some of this anti-Semitism we're seeing, I think, boils down to that. I think there's some people that they've been given a different theology in church or in school, and instead of stopping and actually looking at what's going on in the world and kind of saying, hey, there's everything's got mud in it. You know, every little conflict is muddy. I've seen people blame Israel for things. And I think in the position they're in, they're trying to do the best they can to reduce the collateral damage. It doesn't always work out. Bombs aren't particular when they go off.
Yeah, look at World War II.
Deliberately targeting people. Oh, yeah.
And the collateral damage we had then. Yeah, Greg, so great to hear from you. Sorry, I got to cut it short, but we got to get you back on the show here for a longer amount of time one of these days. I appreciate you calling in. I got to sneak on Stacy's in now. Definitely want to get Stacy on the show here before we run out of time. Stacy's in will actually be the keynote speaker at the Glacier Pachyderm Club meeting at noon today in Kalispell. Stacy, what's your message going to be to the Pachyderm Club later today?
Well, I have never spoken to this group, so I'll be talking about narco-terrorists. I'll talk about Afghanistan, Venezuela, and then about the Mexican cartel, and then what type of drugs are coming up here in the community. So I look forward to talking to this group. I think it's a bone of contention that we have a lot of illegals up in this area, so it's time to start educating people about what's going on.
Yeah, I was just there last Friday, it was two Fridays ago, because I was in Missoula last Friday when the Border Patrol agent in charge spoke, and my goodness, was that eye-opening. And I'm sure, you know, in your former role as the head of the DEA in Montana, now you're also the vice chair of the Montana GOP, you know, you probably worked very closely with your Border Patrol counterparts.
Oh, absolutely. Is that we still have a problem on the northern border. We haven't secured it like we should. All of our assets are on the southwest border. So with that being said, that's why it's important to educate the community of this is what's going on in your backyard. This is what to look for. If you see something, say something. And don't be afraid to say something.
I also wonder, you know, now that President Trump designated Antifa as a terrorist organization, there was an Antifa-related case in federal court in the Flathead County that I referred to back in, like, May. Look at some of the death threats facing our Border Patrol agents, some of these targeted attacks on the Border Patrol in northwest Montana. I wonder if there may be an Antifa connection there.
I would not be surprised because, it's you look at Spokane, you look at that general area, it's a hop, skip, and a jump for those individuals. Antifa isn't at that general region, and so it's easy for them to come over here. Whenever they have a bone to pick with law enforcement, with the Border Patrol federal agents, they can rally up their troops. Matter of fact, during the Sheehy campaign, we were getting threats from that region that they were going to come over and start conducting protests during our rallies. So they are around. It's just a matter of being able to recognize and what they're doing.
Yeah. What do you think is going to be the thing that will stand out most to a crowd in, say, Kalispell compared to, say, a crowd in Billings or in Wolf Point?
Well, I think the people up here in Kalispell are familiar with what's happening. You know what? But the difference, there's starting not to be a difference between Kalispell and especially Yellowstone County. I'm starting to see a shift between Gallatin County shifting over to the east. And the people, the players, the bad actors that are in the Gallatin County area are shifting. There has been a concentrating effort of law enforcement looking at the nefarious people in that area that they're spreading out. So they're fleeing that area to find another place to hide. And Kalispell, unfortunately, has been inundated with these individuals that come up here, keep a low profile for a short period of time, and then they conduct their illegal activity. So I think the people in Kalispell are wise of what's going on. We just need to continue to educate them and saying, hey, this is what you need to start doing now.
So bottom line, with about 30 seconds to go, is it's not just illegal aliens coming up here for work. There is another element that will embed themselves in that community.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm referring to. It's the drug element. It's the gang element. It's a criminal element. It's individuals that crossed over our southwest border, came here to commit crimes. I'm not talking about the immigrants that are coming up here to work.
Very interesting. Well, it's going to be a great conversation for those of you who are in the Flathead listening to KJJR right now. Stacy Zinn, former head of the DEA here in Montana, currently the vice chair of the Montana GOP at the Glacier Packard Club in Kalispell here in just about 2 hours. Stacy, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. And big thanks again to the rabbi in Bozeman for freeing up some time for us as well. All right. A lot more news out there. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.